Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our continuing study of the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians. We will study Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11 in a message titled, Every Knee Should Bow. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, titled, Every Knee Should Bow. This is part 1
of 2. We're going to get into this wonderful message this morning, not because I'm preaching it, but because of what it says in the Word of God. Wonderful message from the Word of God. Let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you for a good group of people to be able to come together with and just enjoy our time together. Such a blessing not to have a bunch of stuffed shirts and people who are always offended. Get away from the politically correct crowd. Be around people who are real. Just thankful for Jesus because that's the real Jesus. He was not the Fruit Loop that the modern world wants us to believe he was. He was down to earth, gritty, a real man, never had a limp wrist, never talked like these people do today. And we just thank you for the Bible and that anybody can pick that book up and get to know the real Jesus. And we just ask, Lord, you help us to study this book and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's really, Stephen pinches the baby while I'm praying. And I don't know why he does that. It's rude. Philippians 2, we're going to start in verse 8. And the title of the study this morning is Every Knee Should Bow. Amen. And that's taken right out of the text. In our study, begins with verse 9, but I actually meant to say we're going to start by reading verse 8. And the reason is we need to read verse 8 to get the context. Big problem you got with a lot of preaching today is they'll read a verse and then go off somewhere with it that the Bible doesn't actually even hint at. They ignore the context. We never want to do that. So let's start with verse 8. Read that with me. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, when we talk about being Christ-like, mainly what we're talking about is being obedient unto death, if necessary. And being obedient until you die. It's not just perseverance, but it's faithfulness in the meantime. Every day when you wake up, you should not be asking what you want to do today. Because let's be honest, most of us would begin by staying in bed a little longer. Amen? Amen. But what do? Well, you know, we like to eat. We like having a home. We like to have a TV and a car to drive and clothes to wear. So we drag ourselves out of bed and we go to work. But you see, all I said was all about us. All about us. We get up and do that because of us. And you can do that and get by. But what makes it even better is when you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a completely peculiar person today. And I'm going to go to work and be happy. And I'm going to be working as unto the Lord. Amen. And wherever you work, it's rare that you'll have a coworker with the same attitude. You'll be the freak. They'll be, I hate this job. I hate the boss. I hate all you. You know, that's how they act. But if you go to work as unto the Lord, it changes things. Of course, that changes everything. You can do that with friendships, with marriages. My marriage is a success, not because of me, but because I married a woman who, in spite of me, loves me with the love that only Christ could give her.
Amen.
It's no wonder that there's so much divorce today.
Yeah.
Because if you marry a carnal spouse, they're going to get sick of you.
Yeah.
And so what's the next thing they do? They get a divorce for irreconcilable differences. And we heard of another couple this week. And I will repeat this through the years. You're going to hear this over and over if you continue to listen and attend here. Is we all have irreconcilable differences.
Amen.
You should have never gotten married if you didn't want to stay married to somebody that you have irreconcilable differences with.
Amen.
So what do? You learn to live with it.
Amen.
And if it's something that you can't live with, you communicate and say, listen, I love you, but I can't live with that. Stop going to the mailbox in your underwear. Put some pants on. I don't even care if it's pajamas. There are some things that are irreconcilable differences that you have to communicate about and put an end to. But we're all going to have irreconcilable differences. And you'll run into a liar every once in a while and say, oh, there's nothing about them I don't love. Yeah, you liar. There's things you don't love. You've learned to love them in spite of it.
Amen?
Jesus' death on the cross now provides the answer to what the wherefore is there for. Look at verse 9. What's the first word?
Wherefore.
Wherefore. Well, when you see the word wherefore, the first thing you should ask is, what's that wherefore there for? And so you have to go back and look at the context. The context is, Jesus was humble, submitted to God the Father, even to the point of the death He suffered on the cross for sins that He did not commit. For your sin, for my sin, for the sins of the whole world. Verse 9 then says, wherefore, read that with me. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Now again, just as Jesus here is rewarded by God the Father, exalted for being humble, to the point of the death He suffered on the cross, if you get any reward from God, it'll be for the same reason. Because you will have to humble yourself and obey your Father in heaven.
Amen.
I even heard a preacher one time say, if you just obey God just because you think it's a duty to obey God, He doesn't honor that. That's a lie. There are many times I have done things that God wanted me to do. The only reason I did it is because God wanted me to do it.
Amen.
What you got are a bunch of people who go by their feelings and their own opinions, and that's what God doesn't honor.
Amen.
God says, do this. I don't feel like it, so I'm going to do this. God don't honor that.
Amen.
What God honors, actually, that message is an anti-Christ message. You know God wants you to do this, and you say, I don't really want to do that. But I'm going to do it anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to obey my Father.
Amen.
How many of you kids that are still living at home know that that's a good policy? As long as your father isn't asking you to rob a bank or do something else that's illegal, unethical, or immoral, or unbiblical, when your father asks you to do something, Johnny, do you just look at your dad and say, I don't think I will. I just don't feel like it. See you later. Johnny, put the book down and go do what I told you. Amen?
Amen?
I had to say that so many times to this lady right here. Actually, didn't have to say it a lot. But once in a while, I'd have to say, Mariah, put the book down and go take a shower.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a reader and she was like, Jesus alone is responsible for this. She's laughing because she posted something on Facebook about the preacher using his daughter as an illustration.
Yes.
And it's Kermit the Frog or something?
Told him to sign his dad, stop.
It's just one of the benefits of being preacher's daughter. I'm going to hang out with Charity and Brian and Diana and Martha Moore so I can use them in some illustrations because I haven't used them in a while.
We I've, do what she says before the sentence is
out. Well, there you go. There you go. Amen. Amen.
We'll train.
Yes. Tracy said, boys, you're listening. Did you turn and look at them? It goes without saying, but Jesus alone is responsible for the salvation of sinful mankind. It should go without saying, but it has to be said. Because so many people will tell you they don't preach the gospel. They just want to live like Jesus so that people will want to be saved. That is a crock. I don't care how holy you think you are. You'd never live so holy that people are going to look at you and think of Jesus. And if they do, they've got the wrong Jesus. Since when did you get sinless? Since when could you do miracles and raise the dead? Since when were you God manifest in the flesh? You ain't. Now, we should live godly lives. We should be, why? Because you will silence your witness if you don't. No one wants to hear the gospel from someone who's cheating on his wife. No one wants to hear the gospel from someone who's in the news for embezzlement. But if you're living a decent, godly life and people know you want to serve the Lord and you do try, they'll listen. Most people will listen when you talk about the Lord. And Jesus alone is responsible for the salvation of sinful mankind. That's why we don't make a big deal about anybody else here but Jesus. We make a big deal about His book, but that honors the author. But you don't see pictures of my ugly mug up on the wall. Why? Because it's not about the preacher, no matter who it is and how ugly or good looking he is. It's about Jesus. Could turn over to Acts chapter 4. We're going to move around a little bit today. I just want Tracy to be able to break that new Bible in real good. Acts chapter 4, beginning verse 10. Now, you will be known as a hater if you believe and preach what we're reading this morning. You'll be a hater. The world wants to come together as one. We are the world. We are the children. The world wants you to imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us. Imagine all the people. You know what I'm talking about? That's the world's message. Doesn't matter what you call your God. Doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. What's Acts chapter 4 verse 10 begin by saying? Read it with me. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Read verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. A lot of times we quote verse 12, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we'll quote verse 12 and we kind of ignore the context. There's a reason why there is salvation in no other. Why? Because of verse 10. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only one who was crucified for you. He's the only one that could have been. Whether it's Muhammad, Buddha, or any other, you know, Messiah you want to come up with, they've got a problem Jesus didn't have. They are created. Jesus is the creator. Amen. They are sinful. Jesus is sinless. Amen. They are finite. Jesus is infinite. Amen. Jesus alone could die for your sins because He alone created everything and everyone. He alone is guiltless of the sin He was dying for, and He alone is infinite, and His death only could provide an infinite payment for your sins against an infinite God. Amen. Crazy, nutty Jehovah's Witnesses try to tell everybody He's Michael the Archangel, who became Jesus and died on the cross. An angel couldn't die for your sins. Amen. An angel is created and finite, and a bunch of them sin. An angel can't die for your sins. It says, whom God raised from the dead.
Amen.
Muhammad was buried and rotted in the grave.
Amen.
And his soul went to hell.
Amen.
Buddha died and rotted in the grave, and his soul went to hell.
Amen.
Confucius died and rotted in the grave, and his soul went to hell.
Right.
Fill in the blank with whatever other Messiah figure you want to name. He died, she died in some cases. Their body rotted in the grave, their soul went to hell. Jesus' body was in the tomb and did not see corruption.
Amen.
He went to the place of hell and preached. His message was one of condemnation to those in hell. And then he emptied paradise and took the saved with him to glory.
Amen.
And his body was raised incorruptible, undefiled, in glory. That's only true about Jesus.
Amen.
That's why verse 12 is true. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, there are groups that contradict this truth. First of all, are the Freemasons. And I got chased out of Scioto County by a bunch of Free Will Baptists who are in the Freemason cult. And because I got up in a Free Will Baptist church and told the truth, a bunch of wicked Free Will Baptist Freemasons came after me as a young man in the ministry and chased me out of town. Sent me to Cincinnati. Then when I got to Cincinnati, they chased me down there. And the denomination defrocked me. And so I left the Free Will Baptist, and I was leaving them anyway because they believe a bunch of heresy. They believe you can lose your salvation. And the denomination doesn't want to take a stand on the pre-trib rapture and the premillennial kingdom and all that anyway. So I was on my way out anyway. But then I, through the years, as I continued in, I, for a short time, joined up a Southern Baptist, and then I went independent. And through the years, I've had to face off with professing Christians who are in the Freemason cult. And I want to tell you what, they threatened my life. And they tried to blackball me in the state of Ohio, and they had their Free Will Baptist cronies send out letters all over the state of Ohio telling people not to have Greg Miller in their churches to preach. And I want to tell you what, they can blow it out their nose.
Amen.
I don't care. Don't have me in your churches to preach. I'm still going to preach the truth.
Amen.
The Freemason cult takes men in and has them swear a blood oath, and saying that if they release any of the secrets of that cult, that they'll be buried up to their neck, their throat slit, and the birds of the air will come and eat their brains out. And I'm telling you, every Freemason, he'll lie to you about that. They will look you in the face. They have a spirit of Lucifer on them. The members of the Freemason, you say, well, I know good Freemasons. You're fooled. You're deceived.
Amen.
I don't care who it is. It could be your father, your grandfather. If they are a Freemason, they took that wicked blood oath and they've taken part in satanic rituals.
Yep. Amen.
And if they tell you otherwise, you're looking at a bald-faced liar. And I don't care if it's your dad, your grandpa, or who it is.
Amen.
And they will tell you in their literature that Jesus and Muhammad and Buddha and Confucius are all equals.
Wow.
And you'll have a Freemason once in a while say, well, I don't believe that. I'm not talking about what you believe. I'm talking about that organization you've yoked up with.
Yep.
Another one, you'll see this in civil religion. I start to see through George W. Bush's profession of faith back when 9/11 happened. And he got up and at the 9/11 ceremony, quoted Romans chapter 8. And I think he even used the King James Bible when he did for his quotation. In Romans 8, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Period. That's the rest of the verse says, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wow.
What George W. Bush offered was a lie. Half-truths, partial-truths are lies.
Yeah.
And then later, in an interview, he said he believed that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. We all pray to the same God. Unless you're a Muslim who kills people, then you're not. That's what his exception was. Why? Because he's a Mason. And he's a member of the Skull and Bones. That's why I tell people, you know, in our government, and this is true about Israeli's government, by the way, we are pro-Israel. But you better be awake to the truth. The Israel government, the United States government, are filled with Freemasons and members of other cults and one world organizations. That's why we don't put our hope in our government. All I'm trying to do is do what I can to preserve the freedoms and liberty we have, which are already eroded. But I have no hope in the United States of America becoming the kingdom of God on earth, which is what a lot of Christians seem to believe. But I do have all my hope in Jesus Christ because He's the only Savior of the world.
Amen.
Just real quick, run through. Is it Alcoholics Anonymous? You go there and they say, it doesn't matter what God you worship, you have a higher power as long as you're sincere. And so people will stand up and say, my higher power is myself. Yeah. They'll sit in a circle and they'll say, my higher power is an oak tree down on 4th and Vine.
It's got to be the right tree.
As long as you're sincere, it doesn't matter. And that's a lie. That's why so many people, they say, I'm alcoholic and I'll never be cured. No, you won't, because you're worshiping devils. You let go of that nonsense and get right with God, you can be free. First of all, alcoholism doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a disease of alcoholism. That's a psychobabble nonsense they made up out of thin air.
Amen.
The Bible says you're a drunk.
Amen.
Stop getting drunk.
Amen.
Amen. The New Age movement. Oprah Winfrey, all these TV evangelists with their talk shows that they call talk shows, huh? Morgan Freeman. You've seen that, The Story of Us on National Geographic. That's the message he's preaching in that. Over and over, you'll see this whole New Age movement. And what it is, they'll say that Jesus is just one of the elevated spirits, and before him there was Buddha, and after him was Muhammad, and the Christ spirit and Christ consciousness settled on them. But if you will tap into this and get in touch with your spirit guide, which is a devil, by the way, that you can tap into that same thing and you can have a Christ consciousness. And that's the teaching of the New Age.
Wow.
It's a lie of the devil, ye shall be as gods. And there's a bunch of other I can put on here, but I want to just conclude it with the coming Antichrist world religion. That's what that is. The Antichrist world religion wants you to believe Jesus is just a Savior, not the Savior. And that you shouldn't be a bigot and speak out against other religions. Why? Because they're all going to get together and you got to get along. That's the message. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God is God.
Amen.
Say that with me. God is God. That sounds oversimplified, and yet that's the profound truth that all non-Christian cults and false religions get wrong. And He has never been willing to share His glory with the devils.
Amen.
Just a fact. Turn over to Exodus 34. Second book of the Bible. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 12. Just a little information God's given about Himself here. Exodus 34, beginning in verse 12, says, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. So right there, He's blowing away the ecumenical movement. Not allowed to join in with the other religions you're surrounded by. Verse 13, but ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. I mean, right off the bat, I just think that sounds like a real close definition, description of the Roman Catholic Church. Verse 14, read that with me. For thou shalt worship no other god, For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. You don't like that? Lump it.
Amen.
Your God is a jealous God.
Amen.
You better get that straight. He ain't going to put up with you messing around with other gods and other religions and joining up and yoking up with this ecumenical movement.
Amen.
He's a jealous God. And I'll speak for the men in this room and the women and expect that I'm 100% right, that none of you would put up with your spouse having sex with somebody else. God equates any Christian yoking up with false religion as spiritual adultery. And He will not put up with that any more than you'd put up with your spouse sleeping with somebody else. Verse 15 says, "Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods." Notice he's using the small g. "And do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons." That's unequal yoke, Christians marrying non-Christians. "And their daughters go a-whoring after their gods." That's what usually happens. How many Christians? I know a number of Christian women and a number of Christian men. I can name them up here who married into false religions. And who, guess what their children were raised with? The false religion. That's what he's warning about right there. "And make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods." And then he says, "Thou shalt make thee no molten gods." That means to make an image and then set it up in front of yourself and pray to it. Offer incense to it. Put it in a grove. Any of those things. You're not supposed to do it. Why? Because God's a jealous God. And He is not going to share His glory with anyone else.
Amen.
God says that any who reject this truth have no knowledge. In other words, He says they're plain stupid.
Amen.
Don't believe me? Look at Isaiah 45. That's right over there. Isaiah 45. And you have religious leaders. You have television stars and movie stars and talk show hosts. You have government officials and leaders. You have school teachers and professors. You have mamas and papas and grandmas and grandpas who all think they're smart and are joining up with this godless one world religion.
Yeah.
This antichrist system. Beginning in verse 20, says, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations." Read this. "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." I want you to read that with me, beginning with the words, "they have." Read it with me. "They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." I don't care how smart they think they are. Stephen Hawking, you're stupid.
Amen.
Tyson deGrasse, what is his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson? Shouldn't have three names. You're stupid.
Amen.
Your college professors? Stupid.
Amen.
If they're telling you that there's a big bang and God didn't have anything to do with it and you evolved, stupid.
Amen. Right.
Fill in the blank. I don't care who it is. If they are telling you that Jesus Christ is not the Creator, that Jesus Christ is just a Savior, that Jesus Christ isn't the only Savior, you're looking at a fool. Verse 21. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together." That's what they've done. They all get together and they talk and they impress each other with how much they know. "Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a what? There is none beside me." Now, you're hearing a message this morning, puts a little more responsibility on you. You know that?
Amen.
Some people are a little ignorant of these things. They're not real solidly...